Aloha and many, many blessings. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the call, everyone. Looking forward to connecting with you all. So let's just start with a few beautiful breaths. Let's just take this opportunity to make sure we're breathing properly for a start. Taking a nice deep breath. So just breathing in. Nice, beautiful, deep breath through your nose. And just holding it for a moment, giving thanks, and letting go really slowly and deeply. So we're just going to start by breathing in. Really filling yourself with air, and as you breathe in, just breathing in that spiritual light as well. Holding your breath for a second, and then just releasing and letting go. Just going to take three breaths to become fully grounded and present with being here. So let's just take another nice deep breath. Breathing out slowly and strongly. Just two more beautiful breaths, just really enjoying being present, breathing in, filling yourself with oxygen and with light. Wonderful. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the call.
Thanks, brother. Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
Super duper. Top four. Thanks very much. How are you doing?
Fantastic. It's been a rich day, long day, and very excited, very happy to be here with everyone. So here we are once again. Brother Nick, do you have any news or any insights you'd love to share before we kick off with some questions?
I guess my general feeling is it's almost like a sense of relief in terms of the just the simplicity that's being called for right now. It's kind of a, it just feels to me like something's peaked, and that was. A lot of stimulation, I think, and drive us to, research and read and investigate and really try and figure out what's going on, and all of that figuring out, quote unquote figuring out, was kind of a necessary for, the whatever percentage of the consciousness needed to shift out of the old paradigm. I kind of feel it's done that, and now all we have to do really is just surrender and be very, very, very simple. Be in the moment, deeply, deeply present, and we can kind of relax a little bit. That's what I'm feeling. And it feels really, really good to me.
Yeah, I feel the same way, actually. It's, when we are stuck in the nonsense and just waking up, of course, it's a lot of confusion, a lot of curiosity, a lot of, newness. And, of course, the ego wants to grab hold of, information and books and research and tangible things, and that's necessary. type process, but then when we get the message, what we need to be doing, and we finally let it land with us, then yeah, absolutely, we become more simple, and we actually feel nourished from that simplicity, and the expansion starts to become less attractive, and the essence becomes far more juicy, and actually gives us something. And one thing I just want to mention along these lines is I've witnessed that as a human species, all of us, we need to experience something. Because one of the most terrible things that can happen to a human being is to feel bored. Yeah, we will do just about anything not to feel bored and empty. And so there's two ends of the spectrum. And on one end of the spectrum, we have a massive stimulation. And most of the world these days is absolutely after the stimulation, which means caffeine. Obviously, everyone's a caffeine addict, just about. Caffeine, drugs, alcohol, entertainment, information, sex, you know, various hormonal stimulation, extreme sports, extreme things. And it gives you something, because it stimulates, it gets out of that kind of dead tamo state and makes us stimulated. Unfortunately, that actually doesn't really make us feel nourished afterwards. That's the problem with it. Now, the other side of the spectrum, which is the new paradigm, is where we are fulfilled from a state of deep, 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 deep peace, which is a powerful, stimulating experience, but a completely different sort of experience. Deep contentment, deep bliss, deep joy. And these are all different things. But they're potent. And so if we can't experience deep peace and deep joy and deep bliss, then of course we don't want to feel bored, so we go across the other side and have stimulants. And I feel that the call for superheroes is to, you know, continually, you know, be aware of this and ramp up the spiritual practice so that the feeling of peace and fullness and natural happiness is strong enough to actually be satisfying. And so I kind of get a sense for you, Brother Nick, that, you know, of course we've been doing this, all of us have been doing this for ages, but, you know, you're an embodiment of someone who's been doing the practice for a long time, and you're really feeling the nourishment of that peace. So what a wonderful thing. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, it's awesome, mate. And what a relief.
Yeah,
what a relief.
What a relief.
because yeah. You know, this all, it's almost like a cliche, yeah, like this. When we hear this, there's only one of us here, yeah? When you live from death, you can't help but be aware of, a greater process. You know, there's a good quote in the Bible about how the whole earth is like a woman in labor. Yeah, it's just like going through birthing pains. There's this, you know, this old paradigm, this ego-driven world gives way to something, you know, much more real. And there's a lot of agony in that. And I think when you look from depth, you can feel the suffering in other souls and the nature and all of that, and it's some of us are more sensitive to than others, but I really feeling something's, you know, just shifted over very, very positively on those inner planes, and it's really, really good news.
Yeah.
Makes things a lot, lot.
Yeah, and I think something we all have to remember is that every one of us has to become completely enlightened, whether we like it or not, and whether we go kicking and screaming, or we do it ourselves, or we're willing to surrender to God enough or let go enough to experience that. So I kind of find this is kind of amusing, that we basically have a choice, and I always find this really quite funny. We either experience bliss, which we can experience if we want, if we're willing to stop blocking negativity, blocking higher consciousness, we're willing to stop blocking our higher consciousness, we can experience bliss. But if we don't, we're going to be massively crushed by life and then experience bliss. So whether we like it or not, we're going to experience bliss and higher states of being anyway. And superhero training, the reason we're doing all these calls and all this stuff, is to help you to experience these things a lot faster and do it for yourself, to do it the honorable way, do it from self-respect, you know, do it from the heart rather than having no choice and then being forced to change. I think it's wonderful that everyone is here and that we're all showing up and being willing to have a good look at ourselves, look at life, look at the world, and actually do what's necessary. It's a really beautiful, beautiful thing. So Nick and I are here. We'd love to take any questions. For those of you who are new to this and you don't know, press star 2. Look at your keypad. Look at your keypad and press your star key. And then press number 2. Wonderful. Hello, who is this?
Michael? This
yes.
is Rashashail Gates.
Wonderful. Lovely to hear from you.
Yeah, and thank you for having the call. This is my first call, so not sure how it works, but question, I just started with it, and I was doing 2 weeks of the practice, and my question about what do you do during your days, like every day, how do you incorporate the practice for yourself? I mean, what do you do? I'm just looking for some sort of a guideline. I've had some experiences, and actually, it's kind of funny, it's kind of personal, but I had a hemorrhoid while I was doing this practice, and it's healed, and it doesn't bother me anymore. I'm 65,
wow.
You know. So my question is I'm just intuitively trying to pick up what do you do each day to incorporate this practice for yourself.
All right. I'll answer and then I'll let Nick answer as well if he has anything to say.
Right.
So
right.
What I personally do every day is
yeah.
I get up at about somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, which for me works really, really well because I can get up whenever I like, and I find the morning time
okay.
is priceless. You know, in India there's an expression Amrit Vela, which we talk about in superhero training, which is between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock, and it's kind of like the peak spiritual time, the peak time for spiritual practice. Is where there's the most quiet because everyone's asleep,
mm-hmm.
and it gives us an opportunity to hear our own conscience and to see through the illusions. The veil is thin at that time in the morning. And so, I mean, I actually would prefer to get up at 2 o'clock every day. It's just that I haven't been able to because it's a bit extra challenging, but I do that sometimes. And so what I do is I sit for somewhere between an hour and an hour and a half. And it's funny because time is speeding up these days. So when I sit down and have meditation, and I'm shocked that an hour and a half has gone past. It doesn't feel like any time has passed.
Okay.
So, and what I practice is I practice becoming, first of all, I become aware of what it is that's coming up within me, because the conscience is, you know, and it is activated because there's no distraction. Whatever is the sticky stuff or whatever problems I might be facing or whatever I've been trying to avoid becomes blatantly obvious. It's like everything is revealed. You can't hide from yourself at that time of the morning. So sometimes I'm initially a little bit shocked to see some sticky stuff or some problems or some issues come up, which is useful to know rather than deceiving ourselves. So that's one thing that happens automatically. That's not really a practice. That's just what happens by itself.
Okay.
Once I've become aware of certain things, that gives me a wonderful opportunity to deal with it. And a lot of issues can be dealt with on a spiritual level without us doing anything physically. So if we can really get a lot of wonderful transformation in our lives by looking at these things. So anyway, whatever comes up is what comes up. I may or may not pay attention to it that much because not everything can be fixed in the morning. But then what I do is I practice becoming aware that I am actually not this person, Brother Michael. I'm not my body, and who I am isn't anything connected to all this stuff, because the ego is addicted to the body, to the personality, and to all the nonsense. So I become consciously aware that's not who I am. Let it all go. Renounce the body, renounce the bodily relations, renounce bodily religions and ideas. Just let it all go. Become aware that I am a powerful, powerful being of light, completely bodiless, powerful being. And that immediately makes me feel massively relieved and liberated. And then I focus all my energy, all my attention on going into the light, my home, my spiritual home. All of us, we have a spiritual home, our sweet home of peace, which is golden light. I focus on being in the light and being in God's light, in rays of peace. So I receive, my focus is how much can I receive? How much peace can I feel? What does it feel like to be bathing in the light? And oftentimes I might have like a practice, like for example, I might have more experience or bliss or more contentment or a feeling. I want to experience something. So I might start off thinking, right, what do I want to actually experience? And then feel that, focus on receiving that, because God is always blessing us with massive power, and it's up to us to receive it. So just like the sunshine is always shining light, and if we are locked away in a dark house, then we're not going to get the sunshine, we're going to get the warmth of the sun. So we have to get out of the way. So my focus is what I want to feel, and then go after it. And also, like I mentioned earlier, there's often sticky business or some unfinished stuff coming up. And so we can surrender that, give it up, surrender it, let it go. So oftentimes, actually not often, every day, I focus on anything that doesn't serve me, anything that's toxic or weird stuff. I acknowledge its existence, and then I surrender it, give it up, 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 to God, to the light. So in other words, what it is, it's a practice of letting all that go and then receiving the power in return. getting the charge. I like the word the charge. Did I get the charge? Did I get zapped? Or was it just waste thought? Do you know what I mean? And for me, I've been doing this for like nearly 20 years now, and I'm really, it's some version of that. Sometimes I might fly around like an angel. Sometimes I might be doing other sort of fun little things, but most of the time, it's just a matter of getting the charge.
Okay, receiving the charge. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. with the practice of the Nisjay, do you do that every day?
Yeah, I mean, Nisjay means certainty.
Okay. And but the breathing practice you do every day?
No, I don't do breathing practice every day. But what I like to do is breathe.
Okay.
I don't mean to, obviously we all breathe, but in Subira training, there's a practice that Nick talks about, which I'd like him to, of course, expand on.
Okay.
I'll let him talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
What I do is breathe in the light, because God is giving us powerful blessings. We breathe that in and then breathe out blessings all around me. I find that very powerful and very easy. So you just breathe in. Very easy. So when you breathe in, you imagine this beautiful energy coming into your soul and into your body. So you are a soul into the body. And then as you breathe out, you share wonderful light all around you. So you're kind of spreading an atmosphere of wonderful peace and light and love all around you in your area.
Okay.
And it's kind of easy to do because we're always breathing. We're never going to stop breathing unless we leave the body, in which case it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right.
But otherwise, we're breathing, yeah? So you're always going to breathe. So breathing in the bliss and then letting it go. Breathing it in and letting it go. And you can get into a kind of trance-like, deep, altered state pretty quickly that way, because it's repetitive and it's going round and round and round, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Okay.
So, and another thing I do is I often time myself. Like I like focus, because meditation really comes down to concentration and power. If it's messy, it doesn't work. If it's not focused, it doesn't work. So, I sometimes do like 5-minute sessions, 1 minute at a time, and just like full focus, hardcore for 60 seconds, and it's like a massive charge. And then I have this little bell that goes off, and then I do it again and do it again. So sometimes like 5 minutes is way more potent than like 3 hours if you're focused.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I get up early too. But I've had this, I mean, don't laugh, but it's like, okay, really, what am I going to do with myself, you know? And so I've gotten this instinctive, just listen, you know, listen. And so I'm thinking, well, I really need some tips on what other people are doing so I can get into more of a deeper thing, you know. And so I don't let the distractions of my body or anything else bother me, because I've had some issues with some medicine that was given to me to take, and I had to get off of it while I was doing all this. You know, after signing up and getting this, I had some really, really tough stuff. But I'm off of it, and it's better. So, you know, I'm going to coordinate this into my life to try to, because I'm up between 4 and 5, so I want to make it more 4 than 5.
Yeah.
And so I want to go into this so that I can strengthen what I have done and what I have experienced are little glimpses all throughout the day of experiencing light, you know, love, and some of these things are coming through, but it's like looking through a piece of material and, you know, the light's coming through, the holes, you know, it's tearing through the veil, so to speak. But, you know, I'm not new to spiritual, but to have something that's really going to help me, this is helping, you know, this is getting me on where I need to leap forward. But, yeah, this part is good, so thank you for that. And this will, I'll try to incorporate some of this too, because I didn't really realize that at that early time that that was conscience. You know, you can hear your conscience and you can, you know, blow through certain things. But thank you, Mike, for that.
You're welcome. And Nick and I used to get up at 2 o'clock and do hardcore meditation years ago. And there's a big difference, isn't there, bro, between the 2 o'clock session, the 3 o'clock, the 4 o'clock, and the 5 o'clock, don't you think?
Huge. Huge. And the main reason why we recommend getting up early in the morning is very, very simple. Because everyone else is in bed.
Yeah, I think, you can't hear them talking or sending the energy out.
Exactly. You can't hear them talking. You can't hear them thinking. Now, it's very important that we have a very simple approach to all of this, because the world is geared towards making everything more complicated. So anyone that's listening to this conversation, just from the things that Michael said, could, you know, spend the rest of the year researching them and, you know, come up with mountains and mountains you know, information to study. And what that does is it makes everything very mental.
Mm-hmm.
So spiritual practice is moving away from complexity into ever-increasing simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where this, you know, great quote from Jesus about you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you become like a little child.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And so, well, superhero training, we're all about this simplicity. And so even though it's, you know, 6 month training or whatever, and it covers every facet of your life, we're constantly distilling the essence and providing the essence, the essential core focus. So just remember that. It's very, 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 very simple. The foundation of it all is basically your own certainty. So when you get up early in the morning and you sit in your chair or whatever you do, you need to have an absolute sense of certainty that regardless of what your mind is saying, what your thoughts are saying, how your body is feeling, what's coming up, your perspective on things, underneath it all, you have to have a sense of certainty, an absolute 100% bulletproof certainty, and that's your own faith. And that, and then we could say, well, you know, what have we got faith in? And you can't really say what you've got faith in. You could say, you could say God, or I belong to God, or I belong to life. I'm a child of life. But really, the simple essence of certainty is that it just exists inside of you. Deep down inside of us all, we know we're okay. We know we're fine, no matter what, and that life has got us, and that the whole of this this human drama that's been unfolding through the ages it's all superimposed on life. And just like civilizations have risen and fallen before us, this one is going to do the same thing.
And no matter how much noise we make and how many things we can blow up or how much money anyone can make and what we can all eat and all of this stuff, what we think about life, what we believe about life, it all doesn't really matter to life itself, because life itself is permanently, eternally, just the same. And so when we can relax in our chairs and just settle back into this just deep, 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 deep sense of trust. Do you understand?
I'm getting it. I'll have to more or less get, you know, relax and do this.
And so
I know that it.
So when you ask us what we do in our practice, you know, that's just us, all right? Everyone is an individual, and so you know, Michael has a different you know, he can drop into hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of stillness, and has been able to do for years, yeah. Someone who is let's say has more nervous energy.
That would be me.
Or has emotional trauma. Yeah, and if you've had hemorrhoids, that's a testimony to your emotional tension that you carried deep within you. And so the reason why the hemorrhoids disappear when we do the practice is because the practice brings peace, and the peace is a transcendental peace. It's not a peace that we get from watching television or drinking wine or eating pizza or whatever. It's a deep peace that just comes from being connected to life. And so that the power in that peace is healing. And
okay.
So we can experience the dissolution of symptoms in our physical body because that peace is healing. And so what we need to do is just be honest about who we are and where we're at and have this sense of trust.
Okay.
And for instance, what I will do is I like to get up very early in the morning as well. And I find, sometimes I find it very easy to do. Like I'm in a phase at the moment where, you know, personally, I never set an alarm. I just, when I wake up, that's when I practice. And so lately I've been waking up at 3 and 4 o'clock. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'll just get up and I might have a drink of water. I might go to the bathroom. And what I do, the very first thing I do is breathe, because the breathing is the thing that regulates the central nervous system. So you can totally calm yourself down, no matter how emotionally traumatized or agitated you are, you can calm yourself down completely by simply breathing. The breath regulates the central nervous system. Now, so what I do, and I did this morning, and I don't know what time it was. I imagine it was around 4 o'clock. It wasn't super, super early, but it was still dark and way before sunrise. What I did is I woke up, and then I sat up, and I have a mala, 108 beads on this mala.
Right.
And I will count 108 breaths, all the way in and all the way out, all the way in and all the way out. Now, I'll do that for two reasons. One is because if I can focus my mind onto the breath 108 times without thinking about anything else, I know my concentration is getting really, really strong. And like Mike was saying, concentration is what you need to be able to connect and focus in meditation. So I'll do 108 breaths, all the way in and all the way out is one breath, and I'll do that 108 times. I'll move the beads around, all right?
Right.
And then I'll put the beads down, and I will do something called alternate nostril breathing. You can Google that up, alternate nostril breathing. Alternate, as in terms of alternating, alternate nostril breathing. That is the best thing that gets you so relaxed. You'll be amazed at how relaxed that makes you feel. So it activates the parasympathetic side of the central nervous system, which is the side that is the super relaxed side, the very calm, the very peaceful, the expansive, warm, you know, really snuggly kind of side of the central nervous system. And everything that we get is just about in this world. The older we get, and especially if we've had trauma in our lives, the more agitated our sympathetic side of our nervous system gets. And so we have to deactivate it manually. We have to switch it off, that activated side, and stimulating. It has it runs the fear, fighting, and just a fight, flight, fry response, the sympathetic side. It has cortisol and adrenaline going into your bloodstream. And most of us, especially if we're being traumatized, our central nervous system is stuck in that mode. So I had a lot of trauma when I was a kid. And, because I do a crazy extreme sports, I traumatize myself regularly. So I like to do lots of alternate nostril breathing to calm, you know, to really calm that down. Do 108 breaths, and then I'll put the mala down, and then I'll do a bunch of alternate nostril breathing until I'm feeling so good. And then what I would do is I'll put my hands together in front of my heart, and I'll just hold my heart and my hands as much as if I have a little bird in there, a little baby bird, and I'm just holding a little baby bird or a little baby butterfly. And I'll just offer my heart to life, offer my heart to God. And I will just allow myself to be filled with the love of God, with the peace of God, and with the presence of life, with the spirit of life. Just allow myself to be filled, because that's naturally happening all the time. That's the natural gesture of the invisible life. The natural gesture of the invisible life is to give to its children. And we are its children. The birds are its children. The animals are its children. The trees are its children. Everything is a child of life. And so if you go into a state of gentle, peaceful, loving receptivity, you can receive so much. And that I do. And I just allow myself to receive, and then I'll just for as long as I feel like it. And then, you know, the sun came up this morning and it was a beautiful dawn, so I went and watched the sunrise. And just, you know, be very, 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 very peaceful. And then for the rest of the day, I will try not to lose that. And when I'm with people, if I feel like I'm losing that connection, I'll just stop whatever I'm doing. I'll breathe. I'll focus. I'll do some alternate nostril breathing if I need to. And I'll just put my hands together again, and I will offer my heart. And I'll feel immediately that I'm connected again. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And then when I'm with people, most people, you know, they never do that. They just live in a superficial kind of reactive state, and so they're running you know, stress frequencies, fear frequencies, agitation, and all this stuff. And so when I'm with people, I will endeavor to hold that space and live from that depth so that they have someone, a presence, whether they're aware of it or not, they can entrain to. You know, you see, we all connect to each other's energy, and it's through this entrainment process that the world is actually transformed. It's not through the mental approach to spirituality or wisdom. You know, you just need a little bit of that to find what the most, you know, the real stuff is. And it's superhero training. We've got the real stuff. We know what it is. So then all you have to do is practice. And because we've become so complicated and so confused, it's a really big deal. But in actual fact, it's very, very simple. And we are very, very good at it already because it's our natural way of being.
I found that I'm hearing it, and this sounds really good, this alternate nostril breathing. Nadi Shodhana is what they're saying, alternate nostril breathing. And it gives you instruction.
Yeah, and
that's how you do it. Okay. I'm going to practice that because that sounds like something that I really, really need to do. And
it'll do you the world.
And to, to combine this couple of things here and just start working with it each day. That really, really has helped me here on this. And because I'm really wanting to get something, a practice that is really core, that really, that I can take from day to day to day to day. And the 2 weeks that I spent with the other, quite very great, made some changes, you know, big time. So now I'll practice with this, and I'll try to write some comments for you guys because I've got the lessons and things that. I'm studying, but my thing at the top isn't working. I suppose that's where you leave the comments and stuff, but maybe I can just write you at the insiders@superhero.com or something.
Yeah, let us know how you're doing. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And one thing I just want to add, I think that alternative nostril breathing sounds like a really great thing for you, just to make sure you get relaxed. I wasn't actually going to say this, I was going to say two things, actually. One thing is that sometimes your nostrils, very practical thing, nostrils can be clogged, right? Because sometimes one nostril, so it's hard to do if that's the case. But one thing that I have found very helpful is getting what's called a neti pot, N-E-T-T-I. P-O-T, neti pot. Yeah, it's like, because all this stuff comes from India, and it's all connected. So anyway, neti pot basically is where you pour water in this little pot. It's like a small teapot almost, it's a tiny little thing. And you pour it through your nose, and it comes out. It's kind of like doing alternative nostril breathing, but with salt water. And it completely clears your sinuses and allows you to breathe properly. And most of us actually are not able to breathe properly. We're congested in some way. So when you do that, you feel tremendously better physically because you can just take a nice deep breath. So I recommend everyone gets themselves a neti pot if you have any sinus issues whatsoever. They're only a few bucks. And you put warm salt water in, and in 5 minutes you can, your nostrils, your whole sinuses are all clear. It's very helpful. Neti pot, N-E-T-T-I. And the other thing is all these emotions, whether we've had trauma in our lives that we can remember, or whether we just carry emotional stuff with us, either way, we're all a bit kind of wounded. We need to let it go. We need to be able to surrender it and get it out of us spiritually. And
okay.
So practice that I do every day, and really this is, I feel, the main thing for me, is on a regular basis, whatever I'm feeling, whatever's going on, surrender it to God or surrender it to the light. In other words, allow the feeling to come up. Don't sort of try and stuff stuff down and suppress things. Just allow it to arise naturally, because it is arising naturally. And then just basically, like, it's kind of like what Nick was saying when he's like kneeling down with his hands out and his like precious little bird in his hand, his heart in his hands, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just saying whoever I am, whatever I have, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it up. And what we're doing is we're being completely transparent and vulnerable and open, saying, you know, this is the thing, and I'm giving it because this beautiful light wants to take away our pain. Yeah, one of the titles for God is remover of sorrow and bestower of happiness. And so this being is trying to help us take this nasty stuff out of us, and we just need the humility and the just the practice, really, just to say, you know what, here's a bunch more crap, because it's coming up.
Yeah.
And what happens is this is very, very important, because if we try and stuff it down, avoid it, you know, distract ourselves, watch TV or whatever, it's not going to work. We have to allow it to come up and let it go. So that's just another practice that you might try as along with all this, is just rather than just allow it to come up and say, dear God, please take this away, and just let it go. And if something else comes up, don't think, oh, I did something wrong, how come there's more stuff? Don't think that. Think, all right, well, there's more stuff, so I give that up as well, and you give that up as well, and you give that up as well. And what happens is, after a while, you start to feel like there's a space arising, and then you start feeling all this beautiful energy coming down, because you've allowed, it's kind of like our heart and soul is like a cup, and if it's full of negative feelings, then there's no space for new stuff. So we let it go, and it creates this space, and then all this wonderful light and good vibes and joy can start filling up in the space that has been created. And,
and this
you can
light,
do that. Yeah,
do
you can
that
do that all day long. You know, anywhere, anytime.
All day long.
When you're lying in bed and walking around, talking to people. I mean, I do. I try and do it all the time. I don't always remember to. But it works.
I'll look. Because you said you get up, and what comes up, you realize, you know, what it is, and you let it come up, right? And then you say, God, take this. This is your first part that you do.
Yeah.
That looks good between the two, and this breathing and the alternate nostril breathe. Okay. And then all day long, you're letting it come up and then giving it to God.
Yeah. Basically, we got stuff in us that needs to come out. It's like poison. It's got to be sucked out. Yeah, it's got to go. And we need to be actively involved in that liberation rather than sort of denying it, running away from it. And it's very simple. Yeah, like Nick was saying, in the end, it's extremely simple. And all these things really are very, very simple. And it really, the power is just doing it over and over and over again until you master it, until it starts gaining friction, gaining like, not friction, gaining momentum. You know, it's like if you walk one step, you're not going to get fit. But if you take a bunch of steps and you do like a bunch of push-ups, or you do a bunch of exercise, it has an effect on your body. And in the same way, if you do these practices again and again and again, they start making you really, really strong after a while.
Okay.
And remember, everything's fine. Remember to hold the certainty, and you just deepen and deepen and deepen the faith. Don't worry about making mistakes or am I doing this right or getting down on yourself if you can't do it. The underlying thing is faith. Is we could, in Sanskrit the word is nizche. We use that a lot in superhero training, and you know, we have to hold ourselves absolutely focused, stable and certain, deep, 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 deep down within ourselves and the world. What it does is it provides lots and lots and lots of scenarios where we wobble around. We become confused, overwhelmed, anxious, insecure. All of these emotions are, you go with the personality and the ego and the false sense of who we actually are, which is all based on believing that we are a physical body. We think we're this physical body, but in actual fact, we're not. The physical body has a persona, a personality, an identity, which is called the ego. And the ego is constantly unstable. And because it is not who we are, but it wants to, live, it will find every single way possible for us to be distracted from the pursuit of experiencing who we truly are. That's why the spiritual path is so challenging. That's why stuff comes up, because all of this stuff that we have stored inside us from years and years and years of, breathing the wrong way, perceiving life the wrong way, all of this, creates residual tension, stress, emotional trauma, and goodness knows what. And that is stored in the physical body, in the cells, in the DNA, in the subconscious, in the unconscious, and in the soul.
From everywhere.
Exactly. And so it's like being in the middle of a storm. And so we have to find the shelter in the storm all the time. And this is what it's about. And that shelter exists 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what. It exists at 2 o'clock in the morning, really easy to tune into. And, at 5 o'clock in the evening when everyone's running around and carrying on, it's not so easy to tune into it, but it's there. And so, we just have to, find that place and rest in that place and abide in that place.
Well, that can probably be good. I'm a caregiver. I care for a lady who's very sick, and I have for the past 4 years. So there's time to do that around there, because she sleeps a lot. And so, because I can get up. I was getting up between 4 and 5. I'm going to start getting up at 4, and then I can do my practice and then take care of her needs first. And then after she's back down, her husband leaves, and then I'm pretty much by myself most of the time. So I can probably... That'd be a good way to implement all this during the day while everybody's out, and away. So,
Another thing in the evening, if you want to get up early in the morning, have your main meal in the daytime if you can, and just have tea or soup or something at night. So you have your main meal.
You don't eat
if you want to. If you want to get up early in the morning, eat the biggest meal of the day as early in the day as you possibly can, really. So you're obviously not going to want it for breakfast, but just have a lunch, have a good lunch, and then just go light, 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 light in the evening. Just have a tea or a soup, and just go light, and then it's so much easier to get up in the morning. It's so much easier.
I'll try that then. Maybe, yeah, that would be the ticket. A lot of times I wake up naturally because I've always loved the early morning. And even as a young child with all the trauma, I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I would go outside and I would sit and I would look up at the stars or the heavens, you know. And it was always peaceful, always loving in that way. And so this is really great. And I'm finding it so easy to get up at the 4 o'clock. You know, I have to be for work 4 minutes away by 7:30. So it should give me plenty of time to do what I need to do then with my spiritual practice, because this is really important to me. This is something that I really, really wanted in this lifetime, is to move and transcend. You know, it's tough. You fall down, you know. It's not easy sometimes. But I've always wanted to transcend, and I think that's basically my purpose, to help others, but basically to transcend my own soul, because I feel like when you do that, you're taking others with you, you know, and clearing your path, you clear others' paths, you know. So this is really great, and I'm going to be working with this. And
well,
anything else you know?
You said it.
You know
it.
That.
And you're it's a real pleasure to have you on this call, because you've asked some of the most profound questions that has ever been asked on our calls, and also brought up some really amazing points. So, you know, even though you don't have much experience and stuff, you really need to trust yourself, because we are what we are. And,
yeah.
You know, the real deal spiritual practice isn't about adding to yourself. It's about dissolving stuff that you've accumulated, letting go of perspectives and a sense of self that isn't actually who you are, and just allowing the real you, the spirit that God made, the thing that life actually created, not the world has conditioned, allowing that part of you to shine. And of course, you're absolutely correct. We are totally connected. It's scientifically validated. It's in our DNA that we're connected through our genetics,
mm-hmm.
to our parents and to our ancestors. So when we do this stuff, we are changing the gene codes. We're changing all of the negative vibrations to the disharmonic, what's the word I'm looking for? The coding sequences in the mm-hmm. genetics. We're changing all those, because they respond to our thoughts, words, and feelings, because it's a vibrational matrix in those cells. And this is all validated by science. So science has proven, validated cellular biology. It's, you know, it's unequivocally proven now that the way we think, the way we feel, the way we speak, and therefore the way we act in our lives impresses in the cellular structure. And that is passed on through the genetics onto the children. So we are not only... it's not only affecting us, it's affecting the past, it's affecting the future, and then we're entraining to everyone else, and if other people aren't doing it, then there's more work for us to do, the few that are. But at the beginning of this call, I was actually sensing, I've been sensing lately quite some relief, because it feels like, you know, they've talked for years, you know, about the 100th monkey theory, and a certain percentage of the human population having to reach a certain level of consciousness in order for, you know, the necessary amount of momentum to be generated that will actually allow for the transformation of humanity. And it feels like that is, you know, actually happening now to me. And, you know, that's due to a lot of hard, you know, a lot of focus and commitment from, you know, from, you know, not very many people for over a long period of time. So that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, and I've been feeling some, but of course some of my breakthrough is because I've been breaking into this practice, but I believe that people, there's more joining in consciously than was. And I think it's beginning to feel less of an 18-wheeler being pulled uphill, you know. So I feel it as well. Although, you know, I've had the challenges of stuff coming up here of late, but it will get better. And I have more of clarity on this and where my soul can take me with this. So I'll have more later on, you know, questions that are going to come up and pop up. And I'll put them to you later. But this is this will give me something to work with.
Perfect.
And thanks, I mean, for this. This really helps. I can really get a direction now in this, and I'm going to work with those things coming up and letting them go, and then this nostril breathing sounds really good to me.
Good stuff. Well, this is really wonderful news. And you are bringing it on. You're helping so many others by doing this deep work. And we want to hear from you, you know, next time, and keep hearing from you how things are going. So thank you.
I will. Yeah, thank you, Michael and Nick. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
You're so welcome.
Wonderful. Well, that was a great question. Hope that was a rich sharing for everyone. There's so many things. And just a quick reminder that we also have lots of guided meditations in Superhero Training. Nick's got some, I've got some. So there's a lot of other things you can use just to listen to put you in the zone. And if you listen to guided meditations, one thing I find is helpful is if you repeat the thoughts that are being shared with you on the meditation, if you repeat them in your mind, then you kind of amplify the power because you become more active in the process rather than passive. So there's tons of stuff you can listen to. But in the end, like Nick was saying, it's ultimately what do you need to do for yourself, and how are you going to release the things that no longer serve you, and how are you going to get the charge, how are you going to fill up with that beautiful energy that's natural, completely natural, and have trust in what is real. So thank you, Rosh Hashel, for that. And we have a question here from, I think, Eshin, is that Brother Eshin? Eshin?
Hello, Michael.
Yes. Aloha. Yeah, you're wonderful. How can we help you? What's going on?
First, it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you again and with Brother Nick for the first time. So the question that I had is actually about, I've been experiencing depression and anxiety for a long time, since I was a kid maybe. And I've been taking medications for maybe about 5 years ago. So something that I've been thinking about recently, of course, depression is not a good feeling to have, but I've been really thinking about some messages that this depression is giving me, that now with taking these medications, I'm being actually deprived from those messages. When I'm trying to explore myself and what my feelings really are, And it happens a lot that, like, for example, I feel this urge for crying, but I can't do it just because of, again, I think these medications. They don't allow me to express the way I feel. And it happens a lot that I experience, like, crying in sleep. Like, for example, in a dream, I am crying. Like, maybe every week I have at least one of these dreams. So I wanted to know your opinion about this, and what is the best thing to do if I want to stop taking these medications? Because I think it really requires a change in the lifestyle if you want to do this, so that it's actually successful. It doesn't interfere with the things that you do daily. I just wanted to hear your opinion about this.
That's a great question, brother. All right, you go for it, bro.
You got it, mate. I'll chime in after you.
All right. So, first of all, I just want to, you know, appreciate you for being honest and vulnerable, because, you know, being on medication, feeling depressed, and really just being willing to look at that, that's a big deal in itself. And the fact that you can even see that and you realize that there are messages that you are not really receiving because of the medication. Just your awareness of this, I think, is really great, by the way. You have a lot of self-awareness. So that's a very positive thing, and that's going to help you going forward, because the very fact that you can see and witness yourself, you're kind of like stepping back from it. You're going to need that when you get off medication, because when you stop medication, I'm assuming you want to stop medication, is that correct?
Yes, because yeah, okay. You know, I want to just face this thing naturally.
So you want to get off it, and so let's imagine you stop taking the various pills that are suppressing this. So what medication does, obviously, is it suppresses, it blocks your experience, basically. And so when you stop taking it, then it erupts. I've helped lots of people get off medication over the years, and I always warn them that you have to be able to be willing to feel terrible, basically. Not that you always will feel terrible, but just you have to sort of like psychologically prepare yourself for turning up the dial on emotions, because medication kind of turned it down, and when you stop taking it, it's going to ramp it up. So it's like the noise increases, right? So when you do that, first of all, you're probably going to be somewhat alarmed, and the ego is going to want to run and hide, and you might start thinking, well, I need to take more medication, or, you know, it can be a bit intense because you're not used. How long have you been on these medications for?
It's been about 5-6 years now.
Yeah. So 5-6 years, you've sort of been not kind of fully present with yourself. And so that's going to be a little bit of a adjustment. It may be a big adjustment, might not be that bad, I don't know. But you're going to have some adjustment where you get used to this new way of feeling. The good news, the bad news is you're going to feel a lot of toxic feelings. Good news is that you now, doing severe training, connecting with us, having all this new information, these practices, means that you can actually, you've got methods, simple methods that you can use to let it go. And if you go into this situation very consciously, with the intention that I am going to face all of my unfaced and suppressed, hidden, repressed stuff, I'm consciously going to choose to look at all this stuff, if you just have that that intention at the beginning, it's going to save you a lot of drama in the future, because you've accepted the challenge at the beginning. So as you do this, the feelings are going to come up, and really it comes back down to what we've been talking about the whole call, which is, like Nick was saying earlier, absolute certainty, nishchay, that there is a place inside of you that is totally okay, and that you're safe, you're safe, you're safe, even though there's painful, intense feelings. I've experienced very high levels of pain in my life at various times. I haven't like had what you could call traditional traumatic experiences, but I've faced myself for massive amounts of time very, very regularly. So I'm not afraid of myself, and I'm not afraid of my feelings, but they're not always very nice. And I don't always appreciate feeling intense feelings, but I'm not afraid of it, because I know that I'm all right. And I know I'm secure. And so when you face it and you say, I'm this beautiful being underneath all this stuff, and I'm facing this energy, and it comes from the past, it's very helpful to not try and figure out where it came from. Like, you know, did this come from my father and mother? Did it come from my culture? Did it come from a past life? But that whole inquiry is sort of unnecessary, because you're never going to really find out what it is. And even if you do, it doesn't make any difference. You still have to get rid of it. It's kind of like, if you find out why there's like a massive leak in your plumbing system in your house, just knowing why it happened doesn't mean that you don't have to fix it. You still have to deal with the problem. So I wouldn't worry too much about why it is and all the rest of it, and thinking about all this stuff, because you can spin for years and years and years and years in psychoanalysis and all that and never get anywhere. So just accept that you're feeling it, and realize that this is karma. This is like past sticky stuff that you've somehow been involved with. You don't have to be guilty about it. You don't have to be shameful about it. You don't have to think there's anything wrong with you because of it. It's just the way it is. And what I recommend you do is you allow it to come up, and you don't deny it. Don't pretend it isn't happening. Don't try and run away from it. And give it to God. Just give it up. Give it up. Surrender is a powerful light. It's like a vacuum sucking all this nasty stuff out of us. A nice expression. I don't know if this is a bit old school, but back in the day there was, if you ever had like fountain pens, did you ever use a fountain pen and have blotting paper, like paper that would suck the ink out of things? It would like suck things up. Do you know what I'm talking about? Blotting paper?
Yeah.
Yeah. So God is like blotting paper. It sucks stuff out, yeah? Mm-hmm. Like the poison is being, it's like you're being, the poison is being sucked out of you. So you have to be like really up for this. And ultimately, we're going to have to face this anyway. So you might as well, you know, I'm glad that you're doing this, because when it comes up, and you consciously decided that you're going to do it, you're on board with the process, you're not running away from yourself, you can allow the purifier, the purifying energy to purify you. You just give it up, give it up, give it up, remaining stable in that place that even though you might feel horrible, you're still, part of you is okay. Yeah, like I remember, I've experienced depression, I've experienced that massive anxiety, I've experienced severe physical pain, nervousness, I mean, you name all the negative feelings, I bet you I've experienced all of them, yeah? And I might experience them tomorrow or even today, I don't know, things come up. So they come up, but we realize that there's a space within us that is safe. We allow it and we surrender it and we keep surrendering it and we keep surrendering it and we keep surrendering it. And You what's underneath all this, by the way, when you, the more you get let go, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go of all this toxic stuff, underneath it is an ocean of joy. And right now, I mean, it brings me joy, just all I got to do is just remember this, and I just feel it bubbling up from deep within me. And right now, you have an ocean of joy. Everyone on the call has an ocean of joy. Everyone in the world has an ocean of joy bubbling away inside of them constantly, and nobody can take it away. Just bubbling away, and it's underneath all this toxic nonsense that doesn't serve us. So as you keep letting go, letting go, letting go, what you'll notice is this wonderful, warm feeling, like a yellow warm feeling of joyful lightness starts to sort of arise. Then you start to breathe deeper, nice deep breath. Then you start noticing a little smile coming, and you start noticing this lovely little bubbly happy feeling. And you realize that actually you don't need pills, and you're just relaxed and happy. And you know, it might not even be that bad, actually. I mean, this might not take very long, and you might realize that you're actually quite capable. I also have a book that I still haven't finished it, but I've given it to so many people because people keep coming to me with problems that are like this. I'll send it to you. I'm not sure. I think I probably have your email. I'll find your email. It's about what's really going on in the messages in the pain, so you can kind of understand how this whole situation is actually benefiting you. Because the blessings, there's always blessings, life is always blessing us. And the blessings become obvious when we're willing to listen to life and we're willing to do what we need to do. And sounds to me like you're really in tune with life, because you actually have got the message, and the message is stop taking the meds and face yourself. And so you're already there. So I'm excited for you. I'd love to hear, if you have any other questions, of course, I'm here, and I'd love to hear what Brother Nick thinks about this.
Well, yeah, I just have a question about, do you think there is a good timing for this? Or do you think, it is something, this process of quitting the meds, it's something that you have to integrate with your daily life? Because it is kind of connected to another question, a related question that I have, which is generally about timing. So, like, for example, when I was listening to the session about planning and plan and action, something that makes it a little hard for me is that my life, like my daily life, is very busy. Okay, so I really don't have that luxury of sitting down and just putting the things that I want to do from morning to night, like getting up early and concentrating on something that I want, because, like, for example, 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning, there is something that I have to do, you know? So something that I was going to ask you is, what is the best way to first create this space from the middle of all these things that are going on? So something that you mentioned in the video is to stop doing things that are not serving you, and then start planning for the things that do serve you. But it's not always easy. There is always this, the things that are connected to your survival, and you have to just continue doing them.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, there's never a good time to do the right thing, in a way. You know, I've heard people say similar things about all sorts of stuff, and some stuff like doing, basically, when you drop a bomb on your life, that's basically what you're doing. Superhero training is like dropping a bomb on your life and starting again, in a way. And so when you do this, you know, of course this creates trouble, you know, but it needs to, because you have to demolish the old building to build a new building. You know, you can't just keep adding to a dysfunctional thing. So I'm just, yeah. Reality is that it is going to be like dropping a bomb. So we can, you know, whitewash it and try and make it all smooth and everything, but bombs are, you know, explosive things that destroy stuff. So, I mean, you're going to have to deal with a bomb being dropped. Having said that, don't try and do too many, don't drop too many bombs at the same time, because, you know, like, I remember the various, like someone I know, she tried to drop too many bombs at once, and it really backfired on her, like trying to change this and this and this and this and this. So just try the one thing. Try and make your life as simple as possible, and as stable as possible on a physical level, because you're dropping a bomb internally, right? And you know, so what you don't want to do is drop an external bomb at the same time as an internal bomb, because that's a little bit too intense, and it'll be hard. So try and keep everything basically the same externally. And you could always cut down on your medication, because I'm not sure whether medication really works or not really, because a lot of these pills are placebo. So it could be that your medication doesn't have any effect on you at all, and you just think it does, right? It's quite possible.
Yeah.
But just, there's two ways of doing it. One is you just pull the plug and go cold turkey. I'm not a doctor. Obviously, we have to have a legal disclaimer for this sort of advice. We're not allowed to tell you to stop taking your pills. So I'm not actually agreeing with that. You have to talk to your doctor, etc. But if it's safe for you to do it, it's not, you know, not bad for you, and there's no sort of negative consequences, and your doctor says it's all right just to go cold turkey, then you could, if that's what you want to do. Or you could cut it down half the dose again.
Okay.
But you know, so what feels right to you?
Well, I think I like to see I like to experience it step by step to see how it affects me.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean like dropping it down slowly, or is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know someone who recently gave up some other medication, and you know, it was gradual. And so talk to whoever's giving you the pills, doctor or whoever,
okay.
And say, look, I want to get off it. I'm feeling better. And just maybe, you know, half it for a month or something, half it again. But what you'll probably find is after a while, it doesn't have that much effect, and you might as well just give it up. Another thing is, if we expect to feel constantly joyful all the time, in a way that's going to make us stressed. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If you think I should always be happy, I should never get angry, and I should never get stressed, that in itself causes stress and makes you unhappy, because as soon as you're not happy, you feel even worse about it. So just don't expect to feel happy all the time. Just embrace how you are feeling, and like Nick and I were talking about at the beginning of the call, focus on that space, that nishchay, that space of certainty within you, where you are safe, basically, where you're in a solid place. Everyone has it. You know, it's hard to pinpoint where it is, but it's there. And have that kind of, it's hard to almost talk about this stuff because it's a place that we all feel, and you know when you're there, and it's actually always there. It's like a backdrop. It's like the backdrop to all our experiences. So just remember that you're always in, you're always safe, you're always held.
Mm-hmm.
And even if waves of emotion arise, and they might be very intense, you're still okay, and you can handle it. And I also recommend that you find healthy ways of distracting yourself if it gets really bad. You know, my policy personally is not to do that anymore. If I feel terrible, I'll lie down on the bed and feel it hardcore, yeah, because I've already done that enough that I can just like go, give it to me, I want it all, I'm kind of bothered with avoiding myself anymore. But I mean, that takes a lot. It's not very pleasant. I'm not sure it's always best for me to do that. But most of the time, if you haven't got practice with this stuff, you're better off thinking about things like, is there a fun, entertaining thing you could do that's not harmful, doesn't have side effects, that is a bit of a distraction from the pain? Sometimes exercise does that. You know, if you're moving your body and you get, you know, you do get have a workout, you'll feel better. some sorts of entertainment, maybe there's some sort of entertaining documentaries that are kind of useful to watch but a little bit distracting, you know, stuff like that. It's like not like bad for you, not really good for you either, but at least it distracts you a little bit from the pain. And then when you are feeling better, that's the time to surrender and surrender and surrender and surrender and let go and let go. So try and do a lot of the inner work when you're feeling a bit better, because when you're feeling weak and totally out of control, it can be hard, much harder to do the work then. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And also, I think, honestly, because I've talked to you before, I have a sense about you that you're actually going to handle this quite well. I get a sense that you've already been looking at yourself for a long time and self-aware. And so I don't feel this is going to be that bad, actually, in your case. And it's more going to be a deepening. I think more than anything, you're probably going to start feeling more happiness than you're used to, perhaps. So, you know.
Yeah, because as much as it does reduce your sadness, it also limits your capacity of feeling joy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a feeling you're actually going to feel happier. Like overall, you're going to feel happier than depressed. That's my sense about you. And you can look forward to that. And really, we need to sort of be less interested in sort of happiness and sorrow and more interested in stable, you know, finding that stable place, because emotions fluctuate, the body fluctuates, depending on what you eat, having to eat today, you can go up and down. If you have too much sugar, it can get out of control. So there's so many factors that go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And if you focus more of your attention on just being content is a stable place, contented, rather than sort of extreme joy. Extreme joy is like can be a little bit off balance, yeah, and the extreme sadness, but like contented, just focus on being contented, being grateful, having gratitude for what is wonderful in your life. And after a while, things will all smooth over and you'll become expert at dealing with your feelings as you practice it. So I'm very excited to hear what happens to you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
You're welcome, brother. So, if anyone else has any questions or if Nick wants to share anything, feel free to press good old-fashioned star 2.
No, I'm good, mate. I'm good.
So, wonderful. So, Eshan, blessings on your journey, inner journey, and everyone else who is listening, hope you enjoyed the call today and you've got something you can take away. We talked a lot about the morning practice, what really works. So, you know, end of the day, we talk a lot, you hear a lot, there's a lot of information around in the world, but end of the day, what are you going to do tomorrow morning? That's the thing. What are you going to actually do tomorrow morning? So, Brother Nick, last thoughts?
I think it's been a lovely call, and some good stuff. Just focus, practice. That's what it's all about. 99% practice, 1% theory. And you can cut the 1% in half, and you'll be good to go.
So there you have it. Cut the 1% in half. Practice. Find the stuff that really works for you and just do it again and again and again and again and again. And we're looking forward to hearing how you feel and what's going on in our next call with you all. So sending you so much love and blessings and appreciation. Have a beautiful week. And we'll be talking to you very soon. Aloha.